Welcome to Servants of the Lord Ministries. My name is Dr. Keith Jenkins, and I'm the International Coordinator for Servants of the Lord Ministries. Today, before I start my message, I want to share with you the commission of the ministry that was given to Joseph Hedgecock many years ago. He said, "I have children in every nation, and you have brothers and sisters whose hearts are crying out to me. They have sought me for ministry, blessings, and gifts." He said, "I've given them those things, and it's blessed them. But there's a part of their spirit that's reserved for an intimate relationship with me. Now their hearts are crying out to me just for me. That is who I'm sending you to, because I don't want them to take the years it took you to get to me, because there was no one to show you how at the time." Servants of the Lord Ministries is a teaching and training ministry sent to the body of Christ. Today I'll be speaking about being still. This message is for those who have a heart after God, who want to be ready for His appearing and do His perfect will. This message is specially dedicated to those who want to fulfill God's plan in their lives in the time we have left and glorify God. The Bible says that even the heavens will be shaken, but the kingdom of God will not be moved. Paul says in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 26 to 28, I'm reading. This is Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 26. "Whose voice then shook the earth? But now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I will shake not the earth only, but also heaven." Verse 27. "And this word, yet once more, signifies the removing of those things that are shaken, as of the things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain." Verse 28, "Wherefore we, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear." Normally you might find some comfort in the countryside where the air is clear, or a place where there is peace and quiet. But during these last days, the environment and surrounding countryside will not provide much comfort without repentance. Paul said in Romans chapter 14 and verse 17, "For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost." Our focus should be on the grace we need to enter and abide in His kingdom, which has been largely ignored for nearly 2,000 years. We read in Isaiah chapter 46 and verses 8 to 10, "Remember this and show yourselves men. Bring it again to mind, O ye transgressors." Verse 9, "Remember the former things of old, for I am God and there is none else. I am God and there is none like me." Verse 10, "Declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure." God is in control. In the last days, you do not need to be traumatized by the things happening on the earth. It was all foretold. Jesus said in Luke chapter 21, verses 25 to 28, I'm reading Luke chapter 21 and verse 25. "And there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, and the sea and the waves roaring." Verse 26. "Men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken." Verse 27. "And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory." Verse 28. "And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draws nigh." By making Jesus Lord, you can be part of the kingdom now. Jesus said in Matthew 7 and 21, "Not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that does the will of my Father which is in heaven." You can also read the back of the Bible, and you see that all those who overcame sin and the devil will inherit the kingdom. Jesus said in Revelation chapter 21, verses 7 and 8, "He that overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son." Verse 8. "But the fearful and unbelieving, and the abominable, and murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." There are two groups here. The first are mature sons of God, but the rest are fearful and unbelieving and will end up in the lake of fire. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5 and 17, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." You do not have to be perfect, but you have an assurance and hope based on the fact that you are changing daily through repentance as you abide in him. Our inheritance is not without some chastening. Paul said in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 6 and 7, "For whom the Lord loves, he chastens, and scourges every son whom he receives." Verse 7, "And if you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chastens not?" David also saw that those who wait on him would inherit the earth. He said in Psalm 37, I'm reading from verses 4 to 9. This is Psalms chapter 37 and verse 4. "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of thine heart." Verse 5. "Commit thy ways unto the Lord, and trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass." Verse 6. "And he shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday." Verse 7. "Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself because of him that who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked devices to pass." Verse 8. "Cease from anger, and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil." Verse 9. "For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord shall inherit the earth." Waiting on the Lord is a quality of somebody who is spiritual. They do not rush ahead where angels fear to tread. According to David, being still includes these things. Number one, personally delighting in the Lord and what he provides. Number two, being open and giving him all the desires of your heart. Number three, committing your ways in prayer for him to bring them to pass. Number four, trusting in him with all your heart. Number five, being patient for God's answer. God is never late. Number six, not fretting because of someone else prospering. Number seven, not getting angry or jealous as this leads to evil. You can become perfect by developing patience. James said in James chapter 1, verses 2 to 4, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations." Verse 3, "Knowing this, that the trying of your faith works patience." Verse 4, "But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing." The word patience in Strong's is number 5281. It's from another word which means cheerful, endurance, constancy, enduring or patience, or patient continuance. At creation, man was an image of God. There was no delay between God speaking and man obeying. We read in Genesis chapter 1, verses 27 and 28. I'm reading Genesis chapter 1 and verse 27. "So God created man in his own image, and in the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them." Verse 28. "And God blessed them, and God said to them, Be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moves upon the earth." The term image in Strong's is number 6754. from an unused root, meaning to shade, like a phantom, or that is, an illusion, or just a resemblance. Hence, a representative figure, especially an image. God gave Adam the command to multiply and replenish the earth, and God showed Adam how all of creation was working together in the Garden of Eden. Adam had a limited time, less than a day, but he saw what he had to do before he was cut off from God through sin. Today we are told that mankind is only using about 5% of the human brain based on the quantity of brain signals. But I believe that Adam had a photographic memory because he needed it. When God said to Adam to multiply, it wasn't just to make babies, but to replenish the earth and make it like the Garden of Eden. We read in Genesis chapter 2 and verse 19, "And out of the ground the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof." Adam had not learned a language either, but was functioning properly by faith as an image of God, naming the animals without consulting his own mind. God put the names of the animals in Adam's mind, and he repeated what he heard. The names were based on what the animals did and how they served each other to make the Garden of Eden such a paradise. The names would have reminded Adam later of their importance and functionality. The whole time Adam looked smart, but he was not doing anything. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 45, "And so is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit." God's plan was based on man being an image of God and representing him. Jesus was the image of God. Paul said in Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 and 16. This is Colossians chapter 1 and verse 15. "Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature?" Verse 16. "For by him were all things created, and in heaven, and that are in the earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him." The Father was also doing the work through Jesus. Paul said in Colossians chapter 1 and verses 12 to 14. I'm reading Colossians chapter 1 and verse 12. "Giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light." Verse 13. "Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son." Verse 14. "In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins." After the fall of man, God still could communicate with Cain and Abel by grace, but sin increased. The rest of God's creation was submitted, even though mankind was corrupted through sin. Dinosaurs existed but did not kill man, even though man was sinful. Adam's own sons were fighting, and Cain got jealous and killed Abel. Despite all this, Enoch walked with God. Paul said in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 5, "By faith Enoch was translated, that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony, that he pleased God." Enoch made no excuse, seeking a relationship with God, diligently listening by faith. He didn't have the forgiveness of sins, but he relied on God's mercy. You must save yourself and make no excuses now. Peter said in Acts chapter 2 and verse 40, "And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation." The earth belongs to the Lord, and it is his possession. So there will be no takeover from the devil. Man cannot claim it for himself. Instead, the meek get everything in the end. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 5, "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." The word meek in Strong's is number 4239. It's a primary word, meaning mild, that is, by implication, humble or meek. It means to endure as well. Noah Webster in 1828 defined meek as, number one, mild of temper, soft, gentle, not easily provoked or irritated, yielding, given to forbearance under injuries. Number two, appropriately humble, in an evangelical sense, submissive to the divine will, not proud, not self-sufficient or refractory, not peevish, and apt to complain of divine dispensations. God used Moses because he was meek, and let God use him. We read in Exodus 14 in verse 13, "And Moses said unto the people, Fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more, forever." The people of God were told to stand still before they crossed the Red Sea and before they were delivered from the Egyptians chasing them. God's deliverance was coming, but the people of God had to stand still. Without standing still, the plan of salvation might have been affected. The word "stand still" in Strong's is number 3320. It's a primitive root to place or to station, to continue, or even to present yourself, remaining resort or set. The word "standstill" has many meanings, and one of them is to present yourself. Paul said in Romans chapter 12 and verse 1, I'm reading Romans chapter 12 and verse 1, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." In the book Sound Doctrine, in chapter 15, on pages 186 to 187, Joseph Hedgecott writes, "When God talks about submitting to authority, whether it's a wife, a husband, or whoever, he is talking about a whole lot more than just obedience. He's talking about the attitude of honoring the authority, because you recognize that it represents God. When I was in the military service, I had some authorities who were very unfair. Because of the fear of the consequence of disobeying them, a dishonorable discharge or prison, I obeyed. I used to make the statement, 'I will obey you, but you can't make me like it. If you tell me to sit down, I will sit down, but on the inside, I'll be standing up.' I obeyed the authority, but I gave them as much grief as I could in the obedience. They did not have joy from my obedience. I obeyed, but I did not do it with the right motive. Later, when God called me in the ministry, he placed me under the spiritual authority of an apostolic ministry to train me. I didn't think they were being fair with me. I didn't feel like the authority had my best interests at heart. I felt they were taking advantage of me, but God would not let me off the hook. That's where he placed me. He put them in authority over me, and I was responsible to submit to them. I went back to the only experience I had of going through a similar situation in the military. I made that same statement. I'll do what that authority tells me, but they can't make me like it. I didn't like the way that they handled their authority. I sat down if they told me to sit down, but in my heart, I was still standing up. I was actually being the whited sepulcher. I was being the Pharisee, because outwardly I appeared to be submissive, but inwardly I was rebellious. Then God spoke to my heart. You're not only going to obey your authority, you're going to like it. That was a whole different ballgame. There were many things that God had to deal with in my life before I can actually count it joy to obey an authority that appeared to be abusing their authority over me. Even though I didn't think it was fair, in reality, it was not fair. It didn't change the fact that this was the authority God ordained in my life. As long as I was under that authority, I not only had to obey it, I had to have joy in doing it. I credit that attitude for most of the spiritual growth I have gotten in my life. Instead of using their unfairness as an excuse to rebel, I accepted the responsibility God gave me to submit with the right attitude. I could not do it at first, but I yielded myself to God to reveal to me all the hindrances that caused me to have a wrong attitude towards authority. First of all, I didn't understand authority. I saw the person abusing the authority as the authority itself, rather than as a representative of God's authority. I understood that when I was in the army, it helped a little, but it never dealt with the inner attitude. A sergeant had talked to me about an officer. I was having trouble saluting because I didn't respect him. I felt he was abusive, and the sergeant said I was not honoring that officer when I was saluting him. He was in a uniform, and the insignia on his shoulder represented his rank, and that is what I had to honor. I had to honor the authority that backed up that uniform. You should not be self-sufficient, but submissive. Peter says, in 1 Peter 5 and verses 5 to 7, I'm reading. This is 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 5. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves to the older one. Yea, all of you, subject one to another, and be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. Verse 6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Verse 7. Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. God actively cares for you so that you do not need to be concerned about your needs in this life. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 25, reading to verse 32. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6, and verse 25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body and what you shall put on. It's not the life more than meat, and the body more than raiment. Verse 26. Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, neither gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are ye not much better than they? Verse 27. Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? Verse 28. Why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow and they toil, not neither do they spin. Verse 29. And yet I say unto you, that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Verse 30. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Verse 31. Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewith shall we be clothed? Verse 32. For after all these things that the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that ye have need of all these things. His kingdom is here now, but people are blind and not repenting and living in a state of anxiety instead, because they're lost. Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 to 5. I'm reading 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 3. For if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost. Verse 4. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Verse 5. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. The word for image of God is number 1504, and it's taken from another word which means likeness, literally a statue, a profile or representation, or a resemblance. If you want to be an image of God, you can represent him by being still. Many prefer to be busy doing their own will instead. How can the world believe in the Lordship of Jesus Christ when the church does not believe this either? Many believers say that God helps those who help themselves, but this is a lie. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." God tells us to concentrate on the spiritual side, and he meets our needs. Jesus spoke to the religious leaders who thought that they were ready. He said in Matthew chapter 21 and verse 32, "For John came unto you in the way of righteousness, and ye believed him not. But the publicans and the harlots believed him. And ye, when ye have seen it, repented not afterwards, that ye might believe him." Are you ready for the kingdom? You may assume you're ready just because you're born again, but you're not. Those who are ready are living in the kingdom now, seeking his righteousness instead. Paul said in Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." By being still, you are not conforming to this world. This world will tell you to do what you think is right, but this kind of thinking leads to self-righteousness. The word renewing in Romans 12 and verse 2 in Strong's is number 342. It means to renovate. The modern computers today are designed after the human mind, and there is a light usually on the front of each computer to indicate that the hard drive is active when it is processing or thinking. During this time, the hard drive of the computer is not still. If you attempt any other activity with the mouse or the keyboard, it will be slow or not respond. In the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 2, Growing Up Spiritually by Joseph Hedgecock, please refer to Chapter 14 on the battle for your mind. Paul explained what the renovation of your mind includes. He said in Romans chapter 12, verses 17 to 21. I'm reading. This is Romans chapter 12, starting in verse 17. "Recompense to no man evil for evil. Provide things honest in the sight of all men." Verse 18. "If it be possible, as much as lies in you, live peaceably with all men." Verse 19. "Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, and I will repay,' says the Lord." Verse 20. "Therefore, if thine enemy hunger, feed him. And if he thirst, give him drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire on his head." Verse 21. "Be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good." Your mind was designed for great things, but it needs renovating first. Let God renovate or clear out the junk, and he can use it. Admit that you do not trust God using your mind and keep filling it with unnecessary things. We read in Isaiah chapter 55, verses 8 and 9. I'm reading Isaiah 55 and verse 8. "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord." Verse 9. "For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my thoughts higher than your thoughts, and my thoughts than your thoughts." His kingdom is here now by the Spirit, and you have an opportunity to hear his voice, but your mind needs to be still to hear God. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 19 and 20, "And to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God." Verse 20. "And now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us." Those who know very little about computers can buy the latest hardware but not realize its full potential that they have through software to do so much more. Expect your mind to run better when you are following Christ. Jesus said to his disciples in John 14 and verse 26, "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. We cannot be expected to remember everything in God's kingdom. God knows. The devil will get you to fill your mind again with junk if you let that happen through serving the flesh. So be careful. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 5, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Noah Webster in 1828 said, all deception is a misapplication of the established signs to communicate thoughts. Those who are deceived want to be deceived. Demanding thoughts should not be in your head. And any idea of opposing or not recognizing the Lordship of Jesus Christ in your life are always wrong. Jesus said in John chapter 3, verses 19 to 21, and this is the judgment, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Verse 20, for everyone that does evil hates the light, and neither comes to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. Verse 21, but he that does truth comes to the light, that the deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. You did not come into the light before you came to Christ, and lived in darkness because you wanted something and did not trust God. James said in James chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, from whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence even of your lusts that war in your members? Verse 2, ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have, and you cannot obtain. You fight in war, yet ye have not, because you ask not. There are consequences for not trusting God. And if you're not asking the Lord, you still do not trust him. At salvation, you should have come into the light, confessed all unbelief, and rejected all worldly desires. Jesus said in Luke 9 and verse 23, and he said unto them all, if a man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. In the Amplified Bible, the word deny means to disown oneself, forget or lose sight of oneself and one's own interest. You cannot be still without denying yourself daily. Sin and death comes through the lust of the flesh. Paul said in Romans chapter 8 and verse 6, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. As long as you keep using your natural mind, you will not experience his perfect peace. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 20, for ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Your mind actually belongs to God anyway, and you are bought at a price. We read in Matthew chapter 22 and verse 37, Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. If you love God with all your mind, then you let him fill your mind with his commands and wishes. Expect God to use your mind and bring thoughts to your mind instead. We read in Isaiah 26 and verse 3, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusts in thee. The word stayed in Strong's is number 5564, a primitive root to prop up, literally, figuratively, to lean upon or take hold of, to bear up in a favorable sense, to establish, hold, lay, lean, lie, or rest. The foundation of that perfect peace comes from a mind that is not anxious, but trusting God instead. That peace that comes through God is a confirmation that you will finish your race too. We read in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 to 7. I'm reading Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to your own understanding. Verse 6, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Verse 7, be not wise in thine own eyes, and fear the Lord, and depart from evil. Choose the wisdom of God through the fear of the Lord, and you will depart from evil. You will never understand the things of God otherwise. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 14, but the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. You can't understand the things of God by grace through faith. If you're hungering and thirsting after God, you want to study, but you study only what God reminds you to work on through conviction by submitting yourself to the Holy Spirit. Paul said in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. The evangelist Charles Finney, 1792 to 1875, he knew in his mind what God required in terms of repentance, as he was a lawyer by profession. However, he agonized in prayer because he knew that he could not help God. He relied on the Holy Spirit to ensure he did not help God or interfere with his plans and serve. We read in Zechariah 4 and verse 6, then he answered and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. God gave Charles Finney this scripture at his conversion. Jeremiah chapter 29, starting in verse 11 and reading to 13. Jeremiah 29 and verse 11 says, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, the thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Verse 12, then shall you call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. Verse 13, and you shall seek me and find me when you search for me with all thy heart. Charles Finney had no fear. In meetings, Charles would let the Bible fall open and put his finger into the pages, and he would start preaching at whatever point his finger landed. He would then typically preach 2 to 3 hours. It was always anointed. He often tried to record afterwards what God said through him, but the Lord would not allow him to use the same sermon twice. Paul said in Hebrews 11 and verse 6, but without faith it's impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now there is no excuse. We read in John chapter 17, verses 1 to 3. This is John's Gospel, chapter 17. I'm starting in verse 1. And these words spake Jesus, and lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee. Verse 2, as thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as thou hast given him. And verse 3, this is life eternal, that we may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Through the gift of eternal life, I can hear, obey, and get to know God by abiding in his presence. He is speaking now. Also in the eternal kingdom, it will be like this at the end for all those who love him. So you can start now by seeking his perfect will for your life in thought, purpose, and action. Before the Spirit of God came, only a few disciples could really get to know Jesus by following him physically. Now through the gift of eternal life, we can all obey and follow through the leading of the Holy Spirit. Paul said in Romans 8 and verses 14 and 15. This is Romans chapter 8 and verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. Verse 15. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. When you look back, you can easily see that God's answer was better. This is what we call hindsight. A good thought came from him, and a bad thought came from you. This is how you know the difference. If you want to prove God's perfect will, then you need to listen and obey first by faith. It starts by following Christ and getting to know him. We read in Deuteronomy 28, verses 1 and 2. I'm reading in Deuteronomy 28 and verse 1. And it shall come to pass, if thou wilt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all the nations of the earth. Verse 2. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, and if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Today the church is seeking blessings because they are living in darkness. We do not have to pray the Aaronic blessing. The blessings come from abiding in Christ and doing his will diligently by faith. The promise is that the blessings will follow you as you follow Christ. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 20 and 21. I'm reading 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 20. For all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen, unto the glory of God by us. Verse 21. Now he which establishes us with you in Christ and hath anointed us is God. When you are listening carefully and follow Jesus with the right motive and a right attitude, you are blessed. The anointing is also a confirmation that you are doing the will of God. You cannot rely on everything going smoothly, however. Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12, yea, on all those that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Do not submit to a spirit of fear, as you will lose the peace of God. Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7, for God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. There is no reason to doubt or fear when Jesus is your shepherd. David said in Psalm 23 and verses 1 to 4, I'm reading. This is Psalm 23 and verse 1. A psalm of David, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Verse 2. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. Verse 3. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. David got his comfort from the fact that the Lord was his shepherd. As a result of being directed by the Lord, David experienced the following. Number one, he no longer wanted anything in this world. Number two, he always found a place to rest that was blessed of God. Number three, on the way there was always something peaceful nearby. Number four, his character was being transformed by following the Lord. Number five, on the narrow way he was always righteous before God. Number six, even in dreadful situations, he did not fear evil. And number seven, he got his comfort through correction and chastening from submitting to the Lord as his authority to do what he was doing. The devil's strategy is to offer comfort and security so that you become his slave instead. The devil will give you what you want in this world so that you serve him, but he is a liar. We read in Matthew chapter 4, verses 8 to 10. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 4, and verse 8. And again the devil took him up into an exceedingly high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. Verse 9. And said unto him, all these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Verse 10. Then said Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shall thou serve. Your mind will not be still if you are serving the devil. If tempted, do not say that God is tempting you either. James said in James chapter 1, verses 13 to 19. This is James chapter 1 and verse 13. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempt he anyone. Verse 14. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Verse 15. Then when lust has conceived, it brings forth sin, and sin, when it's finished, brings forth death. Verse 16. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Verse 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and it comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Verse 18. Of his own will he begat us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Verse 19. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. In the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 1, Foundations of Spiritual Maturity, in Chapter 1, on page 22, Joseph Hedgecock writes, if you want to know the Lord intimately, you must learn to listen attentively and be quiet. Many of your spiritual struggles will stop if you simply obey these instructions. Be eager to hear what the Lord says and stop telling him your preferences and opinions. Some leaders prefer to give the impression that they are fighting against the devil rather than admit that the carnal nature is the problem. James said in James chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, but he gives more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resists the proud, but he gives grace unto the humble. Verse 7, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Paul did not write a long letter on how to deal with the devil, but he wrote a lot about dealing with sin and the flesh. So who are you deceiving? If you are deceiving yourself, you may also be doing the work of the devil and deceiving others as well. Paul said in Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 and 8, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. Verse 8, for he that sows to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. The devil has no authority, but by giving you what you want, the flesh gets stronger. Then you get in trouble with God and reap the consequences of sin. You are just reaping what you've been sowing. Even the devil reap what he has sown. We read in Revelation chapter 20 and verse 10, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Paul experienced an amazing amount of grace by making Jesus Lord and getting on the narrow way, reaching out to the Gentiles. Paul said in Romans chapter 12 and verse 3, for I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. The word soberly in Strong's is number 4993, comes from another word, to be of sound mind, or sane, moderate, be in right mind, or sober. That measure of faith is a quantity of faith that was given to every man to make Jesus Lord first and foremost. This is what you should have done first by faith, establishing him as Lord, and not do anything without hearing from him. This will help you to think soberly. Jesus said in Matthew 7, 22 and 23, I'm reading Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7, and verse 22. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? Verse 23, then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, that ye that work iniquity. My faith in Christ is part of a relationship where Jesus is Lord, and it does not work unless he is Lord of my faith too. I can get more faith through his word by following him, but it is the rightly revealed word of God, not the written word. Paul said in Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, so then, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Use the witness of the Holy Spirit to confirm that what you hear is from God, and then release your faith to do what he directs. Hearken diligently, and do not use your mind. If you go too fast, you will miss the detail. Stop clinging to this world by getting on the narrow way. You will get grace, like Paul. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14, I'm reading. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7 and verse 13. Enter ye into the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be which go in that way. Verse 14. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leads unto life, and few there be that find it. It is not enough just to be born again. You must also enter the kingdom of God. This is not difficult to do. If you believe with all your heart that God loves you, the kingdom of heaven is here now. You enter by laboring or striving diligently, but also by becoming like a little child. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 18 and verse 3, and said, Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not in any case enter the kingdom of heaven. The evangelist Charles Grandison Finney, from 1792 to 1875, was an American Presbyterian minister and leader in the Second Great Awakening in the United States. He said in his autobiography on pages 160 to 161, sinners were never taught in any of the revivals that they needed to expect conversion in answer to their own prayers. They were told that if they regarded iniquity in their hearts, the Lord would not hear them, that while they remained impenitent, they were sinning in their hearts, and that such impenitent and unbelieving prayer is an abomination to God. But if they were truly disposed to offer acceptable prayer to God, they could do it, for there was nothing but their own obstinacy in the way of doing so at once. In short, pains were taken to shut the sinner up to accepting Christ, his whole will, atonement, official work, and official relations, renouncing all sin, all excuse-making, all unbelief, all hardness of heart, and every wicked thing in heart and life, here and now forever. Only when Jesus is completely Lord of your life, you will not serve sin. He pays the price for your sin, not so you can just continue living the way you were before and sin again. You have to seek the minimum conditions to be saved and renounce all your sin as part of your first works. Jesus was speaking to the rich young ruler, for example. We read in Matthew 19, verses 21 to 26. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 19 and verse 21. And Jesus said unto him, If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell what thou hast, and give to the poor, and that thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. Verse 22. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Verse 23. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, Verily I say unto you, the rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven. Verse 24, And again I say unto you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. Verse 25, When his disciples heard it, they were exceedingly amazed, saying, Who then can be saved? Verse 26, But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, With men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. When you start thinking about tomorrow, you will get stressed. Jesus knows the end from the beginning. You only have to do what God wants you to do now and not more. Concentrate on the fact that God has given you enough grace for the anxiety and worries in one day. If you take more on yourself, you're disobeying God. You can ask him questions, and maybe he tells you something you need to prepare. However, thinking about tomorrow is not recommended. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 34, Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. There are consequences for living in the flesh. You might still struggle with some evil thoughts, but that should leave soon after you stop consulting your mind. The devil cannot do anything to you when you are in the kingdom. Through Christ, you can also remove lies and seeds of unbelief. Paul said in Philippians chapter 4 and verses 1 to 8, I'm reading Philippians chapter 4 and verse 1. Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved, and long for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. Verse 2. I beseech you, Euodias, and beseech ye, Syntyche, and that they can be of the same mind in the Lord. Verse 3. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help these women which labor with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Verse 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. Verse 5. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Verse 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Verse 7. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. The kingdom of God is at rest. When you enter the kingdom by grace through faith, the first time you experience that peace. Since then, you probably come out again by going back to the flesh. Re-establish that peace by following these instructions. Number one, rejoice throughout the day, even when you are facing trials. Number two, do everything in moderation, not based on worldly standards. Number three, do not think about your earthly needs and instead give them to God immediately and thank God for whatever He provides. Number four, while God is taking care of your situation then, you keep your mind stayed on Him. Use the list in Philippians 4, verse 8, if necessary. If you're really following Christ, you must count the cost. Jesus said in Luke 9, 24 and 25. I'm reading Luke's Gospel, chapter 9, and verse 24. For whosoever shall save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. Verse 25. For what is man advantage if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be a castaway? The flesh will not help you. The world is passing away. Paul said in Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. This is Colossians chapter 3 and verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Verse 2, set your affection on things above, not on things on this earth. Your mind should be fixed on things above. Paul gave instructions to the churches and explained how believers should think about heavenly things. You are not designed to think about earthly things. God knows your needs. Are you really trusting God 100% with your life? Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 to 24. I'm reading Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6, starting in verse 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon the earth, where moth and rust does corrupt, where thieves break through and steal. Verse 20. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust do corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. Verse 21. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Verse 22. And the light of the body is the eye. If therefore thy eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. Verse 23. But if thy eye be evil, The whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? Verse 24. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. If you are still having no peace, then I suggest you need to repent. You may have listened to a wrong voice and believed a lie because you want something for yourself that you believe God will not allow you to have otherwise. Without knowing the truth, you will never be free. The Jews were trying to serve God and mammon and perished. Make sure you lay everything down and leave it at the cross. James said in James chapter 4 and verse 4, you adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be the friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do not be satisfied with just saying sorry. Admit that you are committing spiritual adultery. Paul said to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 6, I'm reading from verses 6 all the way to 14. This is 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 6. But godliness with contentment is great gain. Verse 7. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. Verse 8. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. Verse 9. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which draw men into destruction and perdition. Verse 10. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which, while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Verse 11. But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. Verse 12. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, where thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. Verse 13. And I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickens all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession. Verse 14, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, unto the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. The devil is the god of this world, so he can assure some worldly success for a short time using your mind, if you serve him. The world does not care who they serve. They just love money and want everything now. Paul said in Romans chapter 8 and verse 32, he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Everything in God's kingdom is authorized through his word at the right time. Your own unbelief is based on a lie that you believe to be the truth. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 to 13, this is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6, starting in verse 9. And after this manner, therefore pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Verse 10. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Verse 11. Give us this day our daily bread. Verse 12. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Verse 13. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. These disciples were allowed to ask God for daily food in the morning. But that is all. The kingdom is here now, so you do not need to fast unless God says so. People rush ahead and do not take time to hear from God. You should be living in a state of rest and not being tempted by anything in this world. If you are tempted, pray for deliverance and continue to be faithful at the level where you are now. We read in Psalm 46, verses 10 and 11. This is Psalms 46, and I'm starting in verse 10. Be still and know that I'm God, and I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. Verse 11. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. The word be still in Strong's is number 7503. It is a primitive root, means to slacken in many applications, literally or figuratively, to abate, to cease, to consume, to draw. It is important that you keep your life slack. The devil wants you to do everything quickly with your mind so that you never learn how to function spiritually. The devil wants you to develop the natural mind so that it gets costly to repent and stop using your mind. If you are struggling to keep your mind still, it's because you have been listening to a wrong voice and now you are living in a guilty prison instead. For more information on unseen chains, please refer to Chapter 3 of the book The Guilty Prison, the revised edition by Joseph Hedgecock. In the book Sound Doctrine in Chapter 14 on pages 158 to 159, Joseph writes, "You have the privilege of getting a full pardon by humbling yourself. Get into the lap of the Father and develop a love relationship with Him. He will start to educate you. God will prepare you with a spiritual education so that you are capable of testing things to know whether they are the truth or not. Don't try to straighten out everything that you have been convicted of in one day. The devil will just lead you from one prison cell right into another. If you try to take over with your mind, he will bring another way that seems right. The end result will be that you are still in prison. You have to take time to preserve the master key properly. Moses led the children out of Egypt. However, Korah and his followers offered the children of Israel a way out of the wilderness that was not God's destiny. They opposed Moses' authority. We read in Numbers chapter 26 and verse 10, "And the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up together with Korah and the company that died. Fire devoured 250 men, and this became a sign." Psalm 46 was written for the sons of Korah. We read in Psalms 46 and verses 1 to 7. I'm reading Psalm 46 and verse 1. "To the chief musician for the sons of Korah, a song upon Alamoth. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Verse 2. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. Verse 3. Though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. Selah. Verse 4. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. Verse 5. God is in the midst of her, and she shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. Verse 6. The heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice, and the earth melted. Verse 7. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Jude referred to Korah as well. Jude says in Jude 1 and verse 11, "Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain and ran greedily after the error of Balaam for rewards and perished in the gainsaying of Korah." The descendants of Korah are still here today, offering a way of getting out of the wilderness without following Christ. If you need more help repenting of such teaching, then read these Psalms for the sons of Korah. Psalm 42 talks about an unrepentant heart. Psalm 44, the realization that none is righteous, no, not one. Psalm 45, God loves the righteous and hates wickedness. Psalm 49, the fate of the foolish and the wise. Psalm 84, a day in his courts is better than a thousand elsewhere. Psalm 85, God can revive and forgive his people for his name's sake. Psalm 88, man has no strength without repentance. Jude says, those who try to serve God with an impure heart like Balaam will perish. Paul said in Hebrews chapter 4, verses 12 to 13. This is Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. For the word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Verse 13, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. God can speed things up when you repent of your own lordship. God can even do a quick work at the very end when grace is increasing and you are submitted to God. By sowing in the Spirit, things can go faster. Jesus said in Matthew 5 and verse 8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. The stillness in Psalm 46 and verse 10 is not a physical rest as in a Sabbath day. The rest Christ offered was much more. Jesus said in Mark chapter 2 and verse 27, and he said unto them, the Sabbath was made for man, and not man for the Sabbath. You will experience a state of rest in God's kingdom by abiding in Christ. Christ is in the kingdom, and you can be in him. You can live in the kingdom by submitting to the Spirit. Rest is not striving, but letting God produce the fruit of the Spirit and pruning the fruit. Jesus said in John chapter 15, verses 4 to 8, this is John's Gospel, chapter 15 and verse 4. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch bears fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. Verse 5. I am the vine, and you are the branches, and he that abides in me and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. Verse 6. And if a man abides not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Verse 7. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Verse 8. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. The Sabbath to the Jews was controlling and stopping activities rather than a day set aside for hearing and obeying God. You cannot show love for God by doing nothing. Love is not passive, it's active. You can only show God love by doing what he tells you to do. If you are being led by the Spirit, you are a properly operating human being doing his will, and you do not need a Sabbath. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 12, verse 8, for the Son of Man is the Lord even of the Sabbath day. Jesus called himself the Son of Man because he was a properly operating human being. Jesus is Lord even of the Sabbath day. And if you have accepted him as Lord of your life, you are free from the law. Paul said in Romans chapter 10 and verse 4, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believes. Resting means you can also be busy with anything that the Lord wants you to do on any day of the week. Paul said in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 16, let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of any holy day or of the new moon or of the Sabbath days. The miracles of Jesus that the gospel writers recorded were done mostly on the Sabbath day. Jesus did this for the Jews' sake, but this annoyed them because they were of the devil. Where Jesus rules, he will bring healing. The Sabbath is a picture of the 1,000 years when the whole of creation will rest because Jesus will be ruling. We read in Isaiah 65 and verse 25, "The wolf and the lamb shall feed together, and the lion shall eat straw like the bullock, and the dust shall be the serpent's meat. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, saith the Lord." If you are functioning under his lordship as a properly operating human being, you are in the Sabbath rest. The Sabbath rest has already started for those who obey the Spirit because his kingdom is here now. Maybe you have never really made Jesus Lord. The psalmist said in Psalm 127 and verse 2, "It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he gives his beloved sleep." The word sorrows in Strong's is number 6089, from another word which means an earthen vessel, usually painful, toil, also a pain. You are not designed to absorb the many sorrows that come from earthly activities. You will end up being depressed. Your mind should be focused on things above by abiding in Christ. Whatever makes your mind run and run at night is not from God. It is important for you to get some rest. God gives sleep to those who he loves so they can do his perfect will. The devil is the one who wants to keep you awake at night so that you are not able to serve the Lord during the day. The day is for doing the will of God. Solomon says in Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 1, "To everything there is a season and a time, to every purpose under the heaven. There is a time to rest, but there is a time to work. Getting some rest in the afternoon will help. When you are tired, you'll be weaker and be tempted by a wrong voice to seek comfort instead. God knows what you need, and he gives his beloved children sleep." We read in 2 Chronicles 20 and verse 17, "You shall not need to fight in this battle. Set yourselves, stand ye still, and see the salvation of the Lord with you, O Judah and Jerusalem. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you." In Christ, we have the victory. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 13, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord, in the power of his might." Verse 11, "Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." Verse 12, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Verse 13, "Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." The devil is no match for you in Christ. If you are abiding in Christ, you will win. Some people choose to wrestle and others choose to run. In the book, Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 3, Spiritual Maturity, in Chapter 3, on page 39, Joseph asks the question, "Do you act or react?" One indication of maturity is whether you act at the Spirit's direction or react from the flesh. When a problem suddenly arises, what do you do in the first moment determines whether you overcome or get overcome. Do you act properly by responding in the way God says, or do you react in the flesh? If you are in the flesh, you will move into fight or flight behavior. You will either fight against the problem or run away from it. Both of these reactions are carnal. Instead of reacting immediately, a mature child of God brings every thought under control to the obedience of Christ. Any situation that produces a strong emotional response needs to be addressed immediately and taken to the Lord. A stressful circumstance can produce negative consequences if you do not process it quickly and correctly. When you are startled By an unexpected event, it's essential to bring your thoughts under control rapidly. This is another reason to develop the habit of obeying what God says instantly without question. Do not let any situation or thought tempt you to use your own reasoning and understanding. The devil may flood your mind with every negative scenario imaginable. However, when you immediately bring your thoughts under control in obedience to Christ and yield to Him with complete trust, you can be at peace regardless of the situation. He knows exactly what to do. Even if you get in the flesh, immediate repentance moves you back into the spirit. The devil uses the fear of suffering and doubts to get you to fight and wrestle in the flesh instead of abiding and standing. Paul said in Hebrews chapter 4 and verses 1 all the way, and I'm reading to verse 9. This is Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 1. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left unto us of entering into his rest, any of you should come short of it. Verse 2. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Verse 3. For we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. Verse 4, for he spoke in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his works. Verse 5, and in this place again, if thou shalt enter into my rest. Verse 6, seeing therefore it remains that some must enter therein, and they to whom it was first preached entered not in because of unbelief. Verse 7, again he limits a certain day, saying, David, today, after so long a time, as it is said, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts. Verse 8, if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterwards have spoken of another day? Verse 9, there remains therefore a rest to the people of God. God has provided a rest for those who strive diligently to enter. And do not give up. Your soul will change if you're living by faith. Paul said in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 36 to 39, for ye have need of patience, that after ye have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. Verse 37, for yet a little while, he that shall come will come and will not tarry. Verse 38, now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. Verse 39. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. The word to come short in Hebrews chapter 4 in Strong's is number 5302. From another word, it means to be late, to be inferior, or to be deficient, to come behind. To be destitute. To come short means to be late for a meeting. This is a common problem for someone who's not disciplined or diligent. We are going to be married soon, and you do not want to be late to that event as the door will be closed afterwards. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 11, now all these things happened unto them as examples, and that they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. In the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Foundations for Spiritual Maturity, in Volume 1, Chapter 1, on page 22, Joseph Hedgecock writes, Psalm 46 and verse 10 is a simple instruction. If you obey it, it will change your life. Some of the words that define still are obey, cease, be slack, stay, be still. This is in Strong's Hebrew number 7503. You must learn to cease from your own labors and stay quiet before your Father. The word no includes the following, to know properly, to ascertain by seeing, using a variety of senses, including observation, care, recognition, acknowledge, acquainted with. Strong's Hebrew number 3045. God wants you to personally experience an intimate relationship with Him. Make sure that you do not harden your heart and believe God's calling to holiness on your life, and make no excuses. Meekness is required. You have to change your thinking. God is going to chasten you, and if you love this world, repent. There is no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Jesus says in Matthew 11, 28, 29 and 30, I'm reading. This is Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Verse 29. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. Verse 30. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. You cannot have rest without being yoked to Jesus. He is love, and He is not trying to control anybody. The devil wants to control you and get you to believe God is evil instead. In the book of Exodus 20 and verse 11, it says, For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. God worked for 6 days and created the whole earth. He can do a greater work in your life in a short time, if you let Him. He wants to do something perfect and pure through you. In the meantime, He is also preventing you from sinning or doing anything that's an abomination. We were not designed to be functioning without the Word from the beginning. God will fight for us. However, God has delayed the coming of Jesus as long as possible to give everyone a chance to repent and be saved. Paul said in Acts chapter 17 and verse 30, In the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. If you've overcome sin and the flesh, you are ready. Paul says in Galatians 5 and 24, And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. In the flesh, you will end up with a spirit of fear, so your brain goes even faster and misses the detail in God's perfect will. You can overcome the devil and this world with the precious promises of God. Peter says in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4, Whereby are given unto us exceedingly great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. If you cannot hear God clearly, then Paul tells us in Ephesians to make a stand. The devil can only feed the flesh. Therefore, submit to God and resist the devil and he will flee. Welcome affliction or sufferings to keep you on track. Drive out all remaining fear by seeking God's commands to show your love for God. Fear God and not what man is doing. And don't be ashamed of the cross. Work on your ability to hear and obey through repentance. Deny yourself and take up your cross daily. If you want to hear and get to know and follow Jesus, then I can recommend the book My Sheep Hear My Voice by Joseph Hedgecock. If you want to make a fresh start and make the decision to start on the narrow path, sow in the Spirit daily and experience freedom through repentance regularly, then I can recommend the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 1, Foundations to Spiritual Maturity by Joseph Hedgecock. Do not let the devil turn you away from the truth that is available now by the Spirit. If you know that you have resisted the truth and want to know why, then I can recommend the book The Guilted Prison, Revised Edition by Joseph Hedgecock. Today I've been speaking to you about being still. God's ways are not man's ways. And He is transmitting His perfect will for every child of His. He loves us And everything comes through his word. We need to be still. That's our responsibility. We have to keep this word out. And we have to listen and incline our ear. When we do that, our soul comes alive. Because we're living in accordance with God's perfect will. There is nothing that can hinder God's perfect will being done. It will be done. When we read at the end, we will see the kingdom is going to be here on this earth, and nothing is going to stop that. Let me pray with you right now that you will make that decision to be still, to enter into the rest, and learn a new way of life, not being rushed by this world, but being controlled by his Spirit. Let me pray with you right now. Heavenly Father, for those who are listening to this message, I pray that you will give them faith to believe in you, to believe in your care and divine provision. That, Father, that through hearing of your voice, through carefully obeying you with a pure motive and a right heart, Father, you will give them perfect peace so that they can hear your voice. Father, I know you're going to do this for them. And I pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. If you've been enjoying this program and this message, please get in touch with us. Let us know. Afterwards, there will be a list of all the scriptures that you've heard today as well. God bless you. Have a great day.